this sacred land, and it has seen many hands. It has wealth and gold, yet it is fragile and old. And now the greedy souls just don't care to know of the changes it will confront. So speak out loud of the things you are proud. And if you love this coast, then keep it clean as it holds, 'cause the way that it shines may just dwindle with time, with the changes it will.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is May Bouvier, who is the Executive Director and co-founder of 350.org, where she works on international partnerships and political strategy. She was the recipient of the Brower Youth Award in 2006 and is the co-author of Fight Global Warming Now. 350.org will be leading the Forward on Climate demonstrations against the Keystone XL pipeline, the largest climate demonstrations in Washington, D.C. to date, at the National Mall on this coming Sunday, February the 17th. And also joining us is the Josh Mogerman, who is a spokesman for the Natural Resources Defense Council. And in the studio is Jack Eight, a writer, urban theorist, environmental advocate, and co-director and co-founder and director of Wild Heritage Planners. He's editor of wilderutopia.com, where he has an article, Word to the President, Action on Climate and Keystone Now. His organization, Tar Sands Action Southern California, is leading a rally in downtown Los Angeles, Solve the Climate Crisis, Take a Stand, Mr. President, this coming Sunday in solidarity with the demonstrations in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Background Briefing to you all. Let me begin with you, May Bouvier. You're obviously going to have the largest climate demonstration in Washington, D.C. to date. I recall that it was your organization that brought the whole issue of Keystone to the attention of the president, with Bill McKibben leading demonstrations in front of the White House, that essentially put this issue on the map, did it not?
Well, we've certainly been working hard on this issue for a long time, alongside some of the people on this call and certainly with a lot of our allies in Canada. But the rally is looking very, very good for this weekend, and we've really reached a point where it's time to show that the American people are really ready for strong climate action. And stopping the Keystone XL pipeline is a very clear way for the president to match his very important words with some very serious actions.
And Josh Mogerman, the spokesman for the Natural Resources Defense Council, of course, just a few days ago, the president in his State of the Union talked both about dealing with the challenge of climate change and put forth an ambitious agenda. At the same time, he talked about energy independence, more leases for oil and gas, etc. Is there a contradiction there?
Well, there's certainly a need for action, and he finds himself at a very interesting point right now. He has two really major decisions that that he's going to have to make that relate to the carbon footprint of this country. The first one is the one we're talking about now, the Keystone XL tar sands pipeline, and the other one is dealing with emissions from power plants. He has the authority and the responsibility to limit the amount of industrial carbon pollution emitted from power plants. That's 40% of the pollution that we have right now, carbon pollution, that is, and he has that authority under the Clean Air Act. And these two decisions that he's going to have to make very quickly and hopefully take action on really give us a chance to set the course to reduce carbon pollution domestically. And it sends the right signals internationally so that other countries can follow our lead.
And Jack Eight, your organization, Tar Sands Action Southern California, is leading a rally in downtown Los Angeles, Solve the Climate Crisis, Take a Stand, Mr. President. What stand do you want the president to take?
Well, the first order of business is that the Keystone XL pipeline, as has been stated, needs to be rejected. Basically, it's a 1,700-mile pipeline that's already underway in its southern leg. It connects the tar sands of Alberta, the largest industrial project on the face of the planet and most damaging right now. And so it crosses the whole United States, much eminent domain, required farmland and open range. It crosses rivers and the Ogallala Aquifer. The first Keystone pipeline spilled 12 times in its first year of operation. This is an extremely dangerous dangerous development there. And also, the tar sands oil is when it's burned, it burns 3 to 5 times more carbon intensive than regular Saudi crude. So it's a very dangerous prospect for the climate as well as for our natural resources.
And May Bouvier, the executive director and co-founder of 350.org, my understanding is, in fact, Bill McKibben told me that he's flown over this area. It requires enormous amounts of water to separate, and they have to heat the water to separate the tar from the sands. And there's vast amounts of lakes of brackish water that he described as looking like Mordor. My understanding is that Alberta, while it's an oil-friendly province in Canada, and the prime minister is from Alberta, Stephen Harper, and he's an oil-friendly prime minister, the next-door state of British Columbia is much, much less friendly, and it's unlikely they'll allow a pipeline. So the only way to get this oil out now, this thick, viscous tar sands oil, is via this XL pipeline through the United States. Is that the situation?
You're exactly right, and that's why this is so important and why the movement around this country and in Canada has become so vibrant, because people have seen that the Keystone XL is really becoming a focal point for the tar sands industry. And it's not just us saying this. The tar sands industry executives themselves have demonstrated in numerous statements that without the refining capacity that lies at the root of the Keystone XL, tar sands are somewhat landlocked in Alberta. And so that's what we're going to see this weekend. We're going to see people streaming into Washington, D.C., who know these issues very deeply, people whose lands would be affected if the tar sands were built, people in Texas who are already being affected right now, people who live near refineries, and people who have watched this movement build and know this is an important moment to send a clear message to the president. So our hope with this weekend is that we're going to see this incredible breadth of this climate movement that's really come together and really sees Keystone XL as a major focal point for the president and our movement, and that if we can lead on this issue, there's so many things we need to do. We need to regulate coal power plants. We need to increase energy efficiency standards. And if we can generate this momentum by President Obama standing up, we will be in such a better place than we are right now.
And Josh Mogerman, the spokesman for the Natural Resources Defense Council, former NASA scientist Jim Hansen has described the XL pipeline, if it's completed, as being game over for the environment. My understanding is that the idea is those refineries down in Texas process Venezuelan crude, which is also very thick and viscous, not as much so as the tar sands, and that in many ways it appears that we don't want to depend upon Venezuelan oil. Is that a subtext there? Is there a kind of national security dimension to this?
You know, there have been a lot of reasons put forth by the pipeline pushers. Certainly that's one of them. They usually talk about not wanting to give our money to Iran and Middle Eastern countries, despite the fact that most reporting makes it clear that this is not going to offset Middle Eastern oil. There's also been the story told that this was going to create hundreds of thousands of jobs. That also has been largely debunked. There are a lot of reasons that have been put forward about this pipeline being in the national interest. But ultimately, they've all been knocked down. And, you know, ultimately, this is something that is in big oil's best interest. It's not in the nation's best interest. And we hope that the president will take action and say no to it accordingly. You know, I'm calling you from Chicago, just across Lake Michigan from the Kalamazoo River, which is the site of the worst inland oil spill in our nation's history. It was tar sands oil that was dumped into the waterway, about 1 million gallons, and 2.5 years later, we are still cleaning it up. You know, beyond the carbon issues that are associated with Keystone XL and with tar sands, there is the broader environmental impact, and this is something that we don't need spanning our country at this point. We don't need the oil. There isn't demand for it. This is oil that is largely being slated for export and international use, and it's just not in the country's interest. And we hope the president will see that.
And Jack, normally the NIMBY, not in my backyard, is a big issue. You're leading a demonstration here in Los Angeles in conjunction with these nationwide protests on Sunday. The pipeline's not going through L.A., so how are you inspiring Angelenos to get involved?
Well, I think Angelenos are, we see what's going on in the news with the climate issues that are, the melting of the glaciers, all the superstorms that are happening. I think people are ready to see action from the president. And the good thing is that the president has indicated that he's considering action. So we need an energy policy that's focused on efficiency and conservation integrated with a clean, renewable energy plan, meaning we need to cut down our use of fossil fuels, any sort of fuels. We need smarter transportation. We need, we need to rethink our cities. There's any number of things that are necessary. But the first thing is to stop these damaging projects. As was mentioned, regulating coal plants is a very important thing, and one of our main organizers is the Beyond Coal campaign here in LA. So the transition to solar, wind, geothermal, and other renewables will clean up our air, improve the health of millions, and create thousands of jobs. It's good for all of us. We understand that although there's a land area of the boreal forest the size of Florida that would be destroyed if they push this project forward, it's far away, but we recognize the impacts to the climate of mining and transporting and burning. That is something that we all care about. So that's why many organizations in LA have shown support with the DC rally that's going on.
And May Bouvier, again, the executive director and co-founder of 350.org, you're up against some of the biggest corporations in the world, ExxonMobil, Chevron, ConocoPhillips, and Royal Dutch Shell. They've all heavily invested in the tar sands operation. What is the leveler here? I mean, I understand in terms of global warming, and a lot of those countries have invested in global warming denial. I take it that there are some corporations that are interested in the global warming reality. Perhaps insurance companies are all going to go broke. Is there a way to get a broader coalition, not just people, but corporate power as well, to fight this fight? This so far pretty one-sided fight.
Well, I'm glad you asked about that. And actually, just today in Washington, D.C., where I'm calling you, Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Barbara Boxer introduced a new bill, and right up on the line with them talking about this new project was the director of Public Citizen, an organization that focuses very strongly on the issue of money in politics. And you're right to point that out, and I think the memory of the last election and the record levels of spending are very fresh in everyone's minds. And when you start thinking about climate change and our energy policy, you can't think much about it without jumping to money and politics as an issue. So I'm very glad that a lot of our partners on this rally over the weekend are really focused on that. Groups like Represent Us and a lot of these new movements that are emerging to try and confront really what is an issue of corruption in terms of the level of money polluting this debate. And there's no question that we're up against a very formidable foe. We just completed a nationwide Do the Math tour where we were describing that the oil, coal, and gas companies have five times more carbon on their books, in their balance sheets, than scientists say is safe to burn. And so the profit motive is huge, and it's bent on cooking the planet. We have to move away from that.
And Josh Mergerman, spokesman for the Natural Resources Defense Council. What do you say to the drill baby drill people in this country?
Well, we've been drilling baby drilling, and it hasn't really worked out very well. They promised us low gas prices. They promised us energy independence. And, those things have not happened. We actually are close to energy and energy independence if we start shifting towards a heavier focus on renewables. We have plenty of energy in those respects. But, ultimately, this is, the drill baby drill crowd is all about domestic energy. This is important to remember that this pipeline is not for largely for domestic consumption. This is an export pipeline. This is all about taking those landlocked tar sands from Alberta and making them available for foreign markets. By the way, through a tax-free international business zone in Texas. So this is about the bottom line for the oil companies. This is not about what's in the best interest for the American public. What's in the best interest for the American public is dealing with climate change.
Well, I thank all of you for joining us here. May Bouvet, the executive director of the and co-founder of 350.org, Josh Mogren, spokesman for the Natural Resources Defense Council, and Jack Eyde here in the studio. People should come and join you on Sunday, downtown Los Angeles. What time and where? Quickly.
1 o'clock, meeting at Union Station right across there at Olvera Street, and we're going to march to City Hall.
I thank all of you for joining us. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.